faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
My husband is incredibly passionate about the 49ers.
He's fairly obsessed.
He's beyond help.
He painted his walls red. I don't know many people that do that around here. I think I've seen him wear a black shirt one time, and it was because it was laundry day.
He's wearing his Niners gear. That's faithful to me.
Wearing 49er gear, professing your love for the Niners, or painting your walls red. All of the above are definite shows of faith for your team, but not out of the ordinary for anyone claiming to be a faithful. That is, unless you live in Louisiana. Meet Neil Wilson. He's a faithful living far outside the Bay Area. Originally from the Quad Cities, this Midwesterner grew up watching Brett Favre in the Black and Blue division of what is now the NFC North. But he has always loved the 49ers. Born in 1981 when the 49ers secured their first world championship, Neil's passion grew as he did. And with that, another passion grew, which found him relocating to the Pelican State.
I'm a voice actor. I'm the voice of many radio stations from Memphis to 101.7 The Beach in Monterey. I've also been on Jimmy Kimmel. I have a show on Travel Channel called Extreme Houseboats. I've been heard on Discovery Channel and Smithsonian Channel, the BBC. But I started in radio as a radio DJ.
Working his way throughout the country, Neil Wilson finally decided it was time to take his career in-house, so to speak. With a studio decked out in his own style, he settled down in Prairieville, Louisiana, and made his own fortunes.
So it's super easy for me to wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know, not only do I get to go and sit in this really cool room that I've put together of all my Niners memorabilia, I get to be whoever I want to be with any given piece of copy. I love it.
But as much as Neil has excelled in the world of connecting with people and entertaining, his game day is just the opposite.
My game day, I don't want anybody around. I don't want anybody who's going to bring any sort of negativity into the room. I don't exactly invite my friends over for football. I'm that guy.
No, I've actually never watched a game with Neil. He doesn't like to have the folks around him while he's watching.
He won't even return text. I think he likes to be in his little bubble.
I've never watched a 49ers game with him. He won't invite us over.
Yeah, am I a bad friend for that?
Neil's unwillingness to have his buddies over for a game could amount to a few things, as noted. He likes to avoid negativity. He also may like to view the game without interruption. Or it could simply be that he has a uniformed way of consuming his Niners. Literally.
Supposedly he gets in his full 49ers get-up, uniform, everything, with a helmet.
He's pretty brave, honestly.
He's got the pants, he's got the socks, he's got his gloves.
I can't even explain it when I saw him wearing the pants and the jersey.
It's just silly to see a grown man wearing a full 49ers uniform watching the game so intensely.
I thought I was dreaming. It was a nightmare.
I wear a full 49ers uniform during game days when I'm at home. We all root the Niners on in our own way. This is my way. and it works.
Being a 49ers fan in New Orleans sometimes isn't very easy.
The only drawback is my number is 3. My last name is Wilson. Think about that for a second.
He doesn't sit down during the games. He is front and center in front of that television with it, with the volume all the way to the roof.
So yeah, it's not like it's like an unknown thing what I do on game days. I pace the living room, I wear my Niners gear, and I sweat a lot. I mean, so shoot me.
Coming up on The Faithful, see how New Orleans has historically been linked with some of the greatest games in Niners history, and how a faithful voice led to a trip to the Bay. The Crescent City is located 2,200 miles from the home of the 49ers. Because of the distance, New Orleans and the Bay Area seem a lifetime apart. But that's not necessarily true. These two teams have shared a growing rivalry and have been a part of some of football's greatest games. Fans like Neil Wilson, a faithful living in Houdat Nation, have experienced some of those great matchups.
Breeze on second down, looking, throws a middle ball, intercepted, and running it the other way is for the 49ers to the 30, 20, 10, 5, pick 6, Amon Brooks.
However, the rivalry truly predates Wilson and many of the faithful who reside in New Orleans. In 1966, the Saints became an NFL franchise, and in 1977, they became part of the NFC West, where they would stay for 24 seasons. That meant the Saints would square off against the 49ers twice a year and watch their foe in red and gold dominate in that time span.
Montana rolls to his right, throws great catch, he's into the end zone, touchdown 49ers!
Although it wasn't against the team that calls New Orleans home, the 49ers also claimed a world championship in the confines of the Superdome and cemented their legendary status on Louisiana soil.
It's a touchdown, John Taylor, another pick-pack. 59 Razor. Pump fake by Montana, watches the Gary Wright. Oh, what a catch by Wright, touchdown, 49ers, touchdown.
These 49ers, in one of the greatest football games ever played by one team, become the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowls since the Pittsburgh Steelers.
One of the greatest games against the Saints, however, did not take place in New Orleans, nor was it during a championship season. It was in 1980, when a team that was trying to find its way also found itself in a significant hole.
Before you knew it, it was 35-7, and we were getting our butts kicked.
Things just were not going our way offensively or defensively, and Bill called us up and said, look, guys,
don't embarrass yourselves.
And let's try to build something going forward to the end of the game, and let's get something going positive, so get us into next week.
Bad as the first half was, the second half was that great. Personally, what I remember is every point counted. You could just feel the momentum shift.
All of a sudden, we're only 2 touchdowns behind, and before we knew it, it was tied, and we were going into overtime. After the game, we couldn't believe we had come back and won, but Bill's point at that juncture of the situation was, men, we'll pull from this game for the rest of our careers. We'll know that we're never out of a game because we just came back from 28 points behind the greatest comeback in NFL history. When you think you're down and out against anybody else in the future, remember this game and remember we can come back and win.
And like it often does, history repeated itself on that very same field against that very same opponent 31 years later. Bill Walsh was not alive to give words of encouragement,
before the 2011 divisional playoff game. But if he were there, his words would have stood true like they did decades earlier.
That game right there was an emotional roller coaster. It was the most I've ever seen a game go up and down, up and down.
It's Drew Brees and the Saints and great receivers.
That team that we had played that year had set I don't know how many kind of records on offense, and I don't know how many people were giving us a chance.
Give me everything you got! Everything you got! Play with heart! Because it may not be no tomorrow! Let's go, man! Win on three! One, two, three, win!
On the one-yard line, was there a fumble?
That was a fumble.
San Francisco ball, a fumble.
Flip 256, flip 256.
Alex back to throw, standing on the edge of the logo. Throws over the middle, leaping catch, Martin, breaks tackles, and he is gone. Touchdown, 49ers. Vernon Davis, tight end left. Alex takes the ball, throws the quick slant. Caught, Crabtree, touchdown.
Hey, Cole, I show up when pressure come on. When pressure come on, I show up when pressure come on.
And they come back, and they come back, and they come back, and suddenly it's a competitive game.
It was a headache. Couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just stressful. They would score, we would score, they would score. It was just pushing and pulling, pushing and pulling.
Third and a long seven just inside the New Orleans 28-yard line. Saints bring extra men out. He's going to boot to his left and run. He's going to run it 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Do you believe it? What a play. The play of dreams. Woo-hoo-hoo! And with a minute 37 to go, New Orleans leads again 32-29.
Those final 4 minutes, I think, live in NFL history as one of the great closing acts of any postseason game.
Well, the Vernon Post was originally an idea of Jeep Crist. We put it into production, or put it on the assembly line, tweaked a few things here or there, feeling like it would be a good play.
New Orleans was starting to just open up the middle of the field, and they were trying to take things away outside, but they continued to play that cover two defense.
They'd been blitzing us all day. We'd hit them with a few big plays, and we were just hedging our bets that they'd be playing cover two.
And we're all thinking field goal. Kick the field goal, we'll go to overtime. And thankfully for the 49ers, the coaches didn't think that way.
We made the decision that we were going to go for the win. We didn't want to go to overtime. We wanted to win the game then.
It was the last time my name was called that day.
It's third down, and the ball is at the 14-yard line of New Orleans. The 49ers down three. Smith in a gun with Gore on his left hip. Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking.
Got it.
The post, and it's got
him.
Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. Vernon Davis with the play of his life. Alex Smith with the play of his life. And the 49ers are 9 seconds away from playing for the NFC Championship.
Looked at Alex. He looked back at me. I took off. Got to about 10 yards. Planted with my left foot. As soon as I could turn, the ball was right on me.
Vernon got jarred, held the ball, and delirium.
The entire stadium exploded at once.
Perfect play. When I got up, all I could feel was tears running down my eyes.
Oh, it was an epic play. That really was the end to an epic game.
The post DeVernon was a new beginning. It was the new 49er era officially being born.
You know, my wife didn't grow up in a household like I did that was a sports household. It's helped me kind of turn her into a Niners fan.
I was a Saints fan early on in our relationship, but watching Neil's passion, it's hard not to feel that passion and want to root for the Niners as well.
If she's not a Niners fan by now, there's no hope for her.
Neil and Kerry live in Prairieville, Louisiana, in the heart of Houdat Nation, where the Saints rule the land. But in the Wilson household, the gold that normally dominates the region is joined by the 49ers' signature red, which runs deeply through Neil's veins, as well as portions of his home.
Let's put it this way. My office or my studio is my happy place. Guys, we know. We all get one room. Some take the garage, some take the basement. I don't have that luxury. I have a studio. All right, so this is my voiceover booth. I'm usually the only person in this room, but you'll notice that it is also 49er themed. It's more Harbaugh themed because I like the intensity. I feel like I'm coached every time that I'm doing my voiceover work. It's black and khaki, and of course the black tucks into the khaki, but I've got some work to do, so pay attention.
You know, man can be destroyed, but he can't be defeated.
Defeat does not define you. You must use it. As motivation.
You're a damn good football team, all right?
As fuel.
We just keep working.
As the drive. The 49ers announced they did a contest called The Faithful Filmmaker. I had become friends with a video producer, so he produced the video, I produced the audio, and we ended up winning. To overcome. I got the email from the Niners marketing people that said, you won. You get to walk on Bill Walsh Field. I got to shake Trent Baalke's hand. And the best part was there's my voice and my audio and my work being on that screen. It was a big moment for me as a Niners fan. We are faithful.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
The red and gold doesn't only stop at the walls and trimmings of the Wilson's house or the inside of the studio walls. It has also managed to make its way into the family itself. Upon learning that they were going to be blessed with a son, Kerry and Neil had to, of course, find a name befitting to the soon-to-be faithful. And they chose none other than Jackson, which happens to be the name of the son of the 49ers' CEO, Jed York. The middle name, however, didn't fly with Neil's better half until social media played its part in the process.
It was right around the time that they named the Levi's Stadium, so I tweeted Jed York and said, hey, Jed, since we're naming things, my wife said if you'll retweet, I get to name my son after Bill Walsh. And he retweeted. But this was like a big thing. Like, my wife and I were really back and forth on this middle name. And I'm like, it's just a middle name. I mean, come on. How many people? So my wife was like, oh, he's not going to retweet you. I was like, are you kidding me? He's done it before. He'll do it again. Sure enough, Jed York retweets me. And lo and behold, we have Jackson Walsh. I'm as much a part of the team as they're a part of the team. I cheer as hard as they play. When the Niners lose, even to this day, it's the end of the world for me. I literally sit on the sofa as if I just lost a close family member, and I sulk. And in the back of my brain, I go, what did I do wrong? Did I not prepare correctly? Did I not do my routine correctly? Did I not pray to the football gods enough? I mean, it's literally the end of the world when the Niners lose. What does faithful mean to me? It's passion. You're not just a fan, but you are. We're all 49ers. I mean, there's no words for what faithful is to me, because it's who I am. Hey, I'm Neil, and I'm a 49er faithful. It's really how I should introduce myself.
He is defending the Niners no matter what we say.
Win, lose, draw, Niner till he dies. Period.
I'm a fan of the franchise. I think the Niners represent what's good about pro football, from being a team that, you know, was a laughingstock for so many years, and then in the late 70s, taking a gamble on a smart young coach who took a gamble on a smart young quarterback, and the rest is history. The team he put together started to win, and it was like an added bonus. Like, it's like, you know, they're pretty good. Then they win the first Super Bowl, and at that point, you're like, man, the team I like wins a Super Bowl. And then they win, you know, three more, and then they win another one. And now it's like I have children of my own. And until recently, they had never seen the Niners win. So the first moment they got to really experience what I experienced, you know, for 20 plus years, was the playoff game against the Saints when the Niners won. And that will go down as one of the great moments I probably have ever had as a Niner fan.